Okay. All right. Levels all right.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do this shit.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly?
I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, good evening. It's Robin Tate here. I am in Ballymena. I'm in Northern Ireland. This is episode 536 of the Overseas Connection podcast for July the 21st. Where is this year going? 2019. My goodness. 50 years ago, around now, people were excited. The guys were starting to pack up their kit bags on the moon and think about coming home. And here we are, 50 years on, just thinking about going back again. But thankfully, they did bring back some seeds. And those seeds have grown up after spending time in NASA test tubes. And they have grown up into these wonderful hosts that I have with me as well tonight. The first of those test tube babies back from the moon is Mark Wright. Hello, test tube baby from the moon.
Hello, older test tube baby. How are you?
I'm good. I've got Peach in. Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
How you doing? I'm sorry, the ginger brought back from the moon. Yes, indeed.
There has to be one.
They said they found red soil. It wasn't red soil, it was red hair. And we have a birthday girl, Kim. Happy birthday, everybody. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Oh, that's enough of that shit.
Thank you.
Lovely to have you on the show. As I said before we started, I don't know if it's dedication or really, really sad that the only thing you can think about doing this afternoon is coming on to the show. But we're really happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Anyway, this is a video game podcast, believe it or not. It is by people that are not 15 or even 25. We think of ourselves as slightly more mature, even though we still get on like a 15-year-old. And wished we had the bodies of 25-year-olds. We broadcast every week at about this time, 9 o'clock in the UK, 4 p.m. in the East Coast, 1 p.m. in the West Coast, and 3 o'clock about Central Time if you're about there. And that goes out on Twitch, on Mixer, on YouTube, everywhere you want to. Just look for the Overseas Connection. Now, mentioning birthdays, Kim is 21 today.
Indeed.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Not even going to ask. A name that you might be getting more familiar with, a fellow called Gary D. Felici. He's going to be 50 on Wednesday. Congratulations,
wow.
Gary. You're catching up with me. And Dave Brown, Dave Man United FC, he'll be 43 on Thursday. So happy birthday to yous all, especially to Kim and Gary. They're fantastic.
Happy birthday.
Hey, and Gary and Fraser Moore's met up at
Niagara.
That was very nice. I'm sure we'll be meeting a few more of those American knobs as the year goes on. So, Mark, how's it been? Thank you very much for being on the show. You woke up with a horrible migraine, and I know for people that suffer migraines and people that have never had them, we don't understand how bad it is, but it's debilitating. So thank you for being here today, that you've worked your way through that.
No, no problem. Lots of drugs this morning, and it's cleared up now. So, yeah, fighting fit again.
How's your week been? What have you been up to?
Pretty steady, really. I've been on a training course this past week, Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, over at our headquarters in Wakefield. And I've been doing hybrid and electric vehicles, just the basics, and how to make them safe to work on. That's some complicated shit, man. And there's a lot of health and safety.
What electric vehicles do the health service have, or are they planning?
We've got a couple of vans in Sheffield area what are electric vans. They're on a trial lease for us to trial them, so little Renault vans. But they are becoming more and more mainstream. It's mainly for when we get in, because we do MOTs, we have to be open to the public for MOT testing. So it's mainly to make sure, we're safe on doing MOTs on hybrids. Because a hybrid obviously has an engine as well as the electric motors. And the engine can start at any time. The ECU controls that engine when it comes in and not. So you've got to be careful where you put your fingers and stuff.
Rubber boots time.
Well, that's the thing, right? Because it was a training session, it was all health and safety. You had to have a special rubber mat you put down. You had to have these really thick 1,000 volt proof rubber gloves on, which made undoing any nuts and bolts and clips a fucking nightmare. You had to have a full arc shield on your face, overalls on everything, and you had to have a colleague stood behind you with a fucking insulated hook. We called it the Bo Peep hook, in case you did get electrocuted, they could pull you off without getting electrocuted themselves.
Are they really that high risk?
They are. Oh, yeah, there's enough voltage to kill you instantly. You're talking a lot of voltage. 50 volts DC... will kill you, and 25 volts AC will kill you. In these batteries, on these hybrid vehicles and electric vehicles, you're looking at between 240 and 400 DC volts, and then that converts with an inverter under the bonnet to between 250 and 600 AC volts. So, yeah, it'll kill you.
But surely you can disconnect the main thing.
Yeah, that's what we were learning, the safe procedure to disconnect it. Because if you disconnect it wrong, you're at risk of getting a shock.
The Formula One guys with all
The
recovery stuff. And
yeah. Well, even when they had, on the normal Formula One, not the E-Formula, when they were pushing the vehicles back with KERS on, because when you're turning them wheels, you're actually generating AC voltage. So that's why when we were pushing them back, they wore them rubber gloves and stuff.
And
there's certain points you can stand.
Thankfully, you've got all the gear. Sheets, the gloves, and all that sort of stuff.
You look a bit of a prick, but it's to save your life. So yeah, it was very interesting. I'm now qualified to work on hybrids. We'll make them safe. So I'll probably never see one for the next 3 or 4 years, but that's where it goes.
Yeah, it's coming. It's definitely coming.
Oh, yeah. There's more and more out there now, hybrids. I wouldn't have a full electric, you just haven't got the range on them. But the hybrids, obviously, because you've got a petrol engine as backup.
They'll get there. I mean, I was watching some stuff, this is not gaming, but car stuff, like with cars with 250 and 300 odd miles on them, have a range of electric cars. So it is coming. Yeah. For me, to be practical, that's the sort of the range I would need on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I can't have anything less than 150 to 200 miles a day.
Yeah.
Have a car, but it'll come.
The new Tesla Model 3 can do about 280 miles, whereas like the new Mini, what's just coming out, the full electric, that can only do 160. So there's a bit of a difference there. It's all down to battery technology.
Pete, what about yourself, buddy? What have you been up to?
I've not been up to a fat lot, to be honest, but I've had 2 days holiday from work this week to do some more work in the garden. And I've been doing more demolishing than actual gardening, to be honest. The garden is like a bomb site. There's just dirt, rubble. There was loads of wood, but I've had 2.5 days of fire, and it's all gone.
The problem.
I've been a fireman for 2.5 days, and I've shifted a load of rubbish, but I'm just stripping the garden to its bare bones, and then we're starting all over again. So there's a lot of work to be done to it, but I'm enjoying it, actually. I've really enjoyed being outside, so
it's good doing a bit of physical labour. I've been there over the last week, just over on Saturday, changing the exhaust. I was sending Mark, I was all chuffed, nothing to him, changing the exhaust system on the old Land Rover.
Okay.
And it's taken me weeks and weeks and weeks to do it. Because every time I went to do just the back silencer, and then the main bit had a hole in it, so I had to order all the center bit and the catalytic converter, and then I realized I needed a gasket.
Yeah.
So I order a gasket. See, again, Mark knows all this stuff.
Once you've done a few, you realize that when you order an exhaust, you always order all the gaskets and all the clamps and everything.
The rubber hangy things that the exhaust hangs from.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
I didn't have any bolts to bolt the thing on, so I had to go out on Saturday morning and get those. Now, so but I got all the bits. The hardest bit was actually getting the old one off.
Yeah.
I could, the bolts that connected the last piece to the exhaust was
rusted away. Yeah.
Solid. So yeah. The only way, I'm sure that, I don't know how you would do it. You'd probably just get an angle off. Grinder.
Yeah, yeah, just, I've got an air-powered cutter, metal cutter. Just cut the
I was using a Dremel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's like what I've got, but it's obviously a lot bigger than a Dremel. It's air-powered and it's got a cutting disc on. Just cut straight through them and put your bolts in.
Yeah.
I'm sure you got a huge sense of achievement from it there once you completed it.
It was fantastic. Because when once I got it off, the new one went on within about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But it was lovely, though. So Bert the Jeep is happy as Larry. And the guy up beside me, Stanley, who kills everything, he has an extra shed, but he has a hydraulic ramp, a full thing.
Oh, right, okay.
Judas Cox, well, just take it round to Stanley. Not be a problem to him. No. Weeks and weeks. I says, I'm in no hurry. I'm doing this myself. Yeah. So,
did you have some little drive on ramps just to raise it up?
My father's old. He had the old metal ramps.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And earlier on in the year, I had bought a pump up, a big
jack. Hydraulic jack.
Yeah, I know all the terms. Kim, what about yourself, kid? You've been losing weight right in the center. You're just slipping out. You're falling away to nothing.
Well, hopefully. I think this week I sweated that pound off that I stepped on the scale and lost this morning. So I think it just sweat away because we've been averaging like 105, 106 degrees with the heat index. So, we got some rain though last night, so it's not so bad now. But, welcome to summer.
No, we're getting wet and it's horrible. And actually, Judith had the heat on today.
Oh my god!
Yeah,
I didn't want to think about that yet.
It's still really hot. The
golf open finished today, and it was windy and torrential rain up there. It was like the middle of winter for a lot of those guys. So, okay, so this week the Amazon Day thing happened, and I got lots of gadge. So, did you get anybody partake in the Amazon seal thing that they suckers into?
I didn't really see what I wanted.
Sure did. Oh, yeah. I spent like $150, so.
I just spent the credit card bill. I realized what I spent. Nightmare.
Yeah, I got a Roku box for the Hermit Cave and all the stuff that went along with that. And then I got a Ring doorbell with the Echo Dot. Yeah, high-tech redneck time, I'm telling you. So.
Okay, so yeah, because I've seen that the rings were on offer as well.
Yep.
But is that? I wasn't sure. Is there a ring two? Or is that the ring one? Or is there two different models?
I think there is because this one I think is the $100 one, and it's like it will you have the video, you have the two way talking that sort of thing. But there is another one that's a little overstepped with it.
I think Phil got the 150 quid one. I think he said it was a ring pro, and it normally retails at 240.
Yeah.
And have you set it up?
I've got it set up, but we haven't got it on the house yet. So that's Dad's job. So
what does it do? So I mean, do you physically screw it onto the front of the door?
Yeah, if you have a doorbell, you can wire it into the doorbell. But we don't have a doorbell.
You put this thing on their door and somebody rips it off because they all recognize what the Ring doorbell is and they all know it costs 150 or 200 quid.
It's screwed on there, so they could just push it up and take it off unless it's wired. But it's got a thievery warranty or something that if it gets stolen, they will replace it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
It's funny. Our delivery men that don't know us out here go to our front door, but that's really the only time. People that have never been to the house go to the front door. But generally, our main door is our back door around the back of the house.
Yeah.
So, and I'd like, do I just not bother with these things, or do I get two of them, or I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if I need it.
We have side doors that everybody goes through, and then we have the front door. Well, almost nobody uses the front door. We don't even use the front door, so I got it for the side door. So.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah.
And Pete, did you partake?
I only spent 10% of what Kim had spent, so I had to get the PlayStation.
Yes.
Oh yeah. Best Buy's got those for $20 now. I'm tempted to get one.
Yeah, at that price, I just couldn't.
Here it is. One of these.
That's the fella.
A PlayStation Mini. Thank you, Pilch Reed, for pointing this out to us. Yeah. Even though Pilch costs and he feels like he's been ripped off, Pilch is not exactly the most positive guy in the world. Pilch, you didn't buy this to be the best ever console ever in the world. You bought it as a trinket. It'll be nice on your shelf.
Yep.
I fired it up once. I played Ridge Racer for all of about 2 minutes.
That's why I won't buy these, because I'll never play him. So what's the point?
But it's a nice little thing to put on the shelf.
I've no room. Right? I've no room for it.
But you're just gonna make room.
Yeah.
Or just move Jenny off the settee.
Yeah.
No, just do something.
Yeah, I've just.
It's far too big.
Yeah, I'm. Yeah, I might be. I might be able to accommodate one of his spare bedrooms soon. Maybe in about 6 months. Maybe.
No.
Well, you're kicking.
Yeah, it's like Thomas. It's nice to have. It is nice. It's a beautiful little thing. And you're right, I have them all. He loves all this sort of stuff, and he chips them and does all manner of thing with them. And it's not, but there's other places you can play all of those old retro games. And I don't think I'll ever do that. I'll maybe use it at a kid's party or something like that. I've done that a few times. The kid's parties, just threw it onto the TV, and it's nice and easy to set up. But it's just, what was it? 19 quid or 17 quid or something.
Yeah, well,
$15.99. And that's why I had to get it. I mean, I've not told Shell yet, but I shouldn't be spending my money on that because I've got to watch what I'm doing. But I just had to. It was just a steal. It was an absolute steal.
Right.
What else did I get? I picked up a new watch. A new Fitbit, because my old Fitbit was starting to not charge all the time. And I was looking at the Apple ones, the Apple Watches, and my eyesight's shit.
Can you swim with those?
Yes. So this one, you can't swim with it. This is a Fitbit, I think it's called an Ionic.
Right.
It's got a screen on it, it's quite big. I've got a little picture of Jasmine on the screen. You can't see it.
Right. Picture
of Jasmine.
At the moment, it's 5 days battery charge on it. There are apps now that you can have. And I can see my notifications from my phone and my emails and text and news and stuff out there. So,
do you really bother with all that, though? Or do you just use it as a Fitbit?
I use it to see what calls are on it, if I'm in a meeting there, and just a quick glance. But I'm not really worried about answering back on it or talking into it or taking photos with my... But yes, as a Fitbit, and now that it's waterproof, great. First thing I did, but I ordered a couple of new straps because the strap is a bit plastic. It's plastic.
Yep.
So I got one of those. Chuffed for that. That came quickly. I bought one of those pots. What is it again?
Instapot.
Instapot. It's an American pressure cooker. It's friggin' awesome. It's brilliant. Pressure cooker. I know it's not exciting, but it's electronic and has buttons and it's clever and it's cooking stuff. And our old Judith's ex-old one has died. Sorry, our old one, I have to be politically correct. Our old cooker, slow cooker. So that's cool. I've fired it up a few times. I bought a robot vacuum.
Oh, dipped my jealous. Head,
and it's cool. So right now it's over in the kitchen. It's called Leslie. And right now in the kitchen, it's doing its thing. It's working.
I was listening to Midlife Gamer this week at work, and Darren's just got a new robot vacuum, and he's called his Murphy from RoboCop.
All right. Well, I said that. It's okay. So this is the new robot vacuum. What shall we call it? Taylor? Leslie? Why? Looks like Leslie.
Are you in the early stages where you just sit and just watch it doing stuff?
Yes. Absolutely mesmerizing. Because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever about the way it goes. It seemed like it's learning the room first. But there it goes and it trundles around and back and forth and zigzag. But it actually does seem to work. So We can let it. It's mostly in the kitchen and sunroom, but it will do the whole of the downstairs if you let it. And then all of a sudden, it actually is not that noisy. I expected it to be quite noisy, but after it's sort of finished, or it's getting low on juice, it just trundles its way back, and in it goes. And I put a pink fluffy unicorn on top of it, and Jasmine's just been shooting it. It's cool. We thought about one. It wasn't that dear. Well, it was.
Then it looked bloody dear.
Yeah, it was a couple of hundred quid.
Oh, my God. How much did you spend altogether on that day?
I don't know. the quid there, and like, watch. Well, actually, there's only right, thing to watch. The new Fitbit watch, the first time I've seen it on Amazon in the UK, and I've taken the option. You could pay it in 5 payments with no interest.
Yeah, I've seen that quite a bit now, yeah. It's quite good.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen that before, so I forget that. So that was a couple of hundred quid for that. The PlayStation. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, and the other stuff. So we're now at the house now. We're getting ready for the builders. We go away on holidays on the 3rd of August, Italy. And the builders are organised to come in to knock through into the kitchen and in the living room and put the new wood-burning stove in. And he arrived this week with all wood floor for the sunroom and the new living room and block up a door. And he arrived with all these doors. And I said, well, what are these here? Oh, Judith ordered oak doors. What? Yeah, she ordered oak doors for all of the house. What?
Oh, no.
Whoops.
So, oh, yeah, and the doors that are glass into the sunroom, she didn't think they would look right, Robin, so she ordered new ones of those as well.
Oh,
So when we come back from holidays, our house is going to be finished and redone and rebuilt, or it's going to be a frigging nightmare. Anyway, other stuff that I did this week, last weekend I went to see the new Spider-Man movie, Spider-Man Ooh. Far From Home.
Yeah.
Oh, Scott Snobby, he got, the Echo stuff. What did he got? Echo dots?
He got two dots and he got two dots and a full size Echo and a sub speaker.
Mm.
My mum got two Echo dots, which was interesting. She kept seeing mine and she said, I want one of them. I says, you won't need them, you won't use them. Anyway, she got two because we're 22 quid this time round, weren't they, on Prime Day?
Right.
So she got two of them. I've just set them up this week.
We use them all. I've got the big one in the kitchen at home and we've got them in pretty much every room. The kitchen one gets used a lot for timers and stuff like that, and music.
Yeah, she plays Magic Radio on it, and that is it.
we've had one in a wrapper since February. We've not fetched it out. We just these type of gadgets just ain't our thing.
I use mine all the time. It controls all my lights and everything.
I just don't.
Oh yeah, we started. Sorry, here you go. I forgot about that, Mark. It controls our lighting and our heating and. Yeah, so, you know, sunroom off, sunroom on, kitchen on, kitchen off. In fact, when we're putting this new wood burning stove, we're taking out the old big open fire in our front room, and it's been all of the old fireplaces to being taken away, and there's new like slate walls going in, and this wide screen, it's a wide screen wood burning stove. It's going in. But up above it, I want lights down. So when it's not lit, it lights the alcove.
Yeah.
And the builders and they're going, well, that means we need extra light switches here and all that. And I said, no, don't worry about that. You just get the power to it. Here's I'll order some Philips Hue lights for it, and that's it sorted. So the lights in the new fireplace will just be controlled by voice.
Yeah.
Or in the lights.
Just while we're on about the echoes. My mum got the new Generation 3 ones with a fabric outside bit. They are quite a bit bigger and heavier than my Generation 2 dot, and the sound is a lot better quality. It's a lot bassier. Yeah.
Well, the big tall tube one that I have, the original big one, Ken.
What's up, Ken?
It does sound good. It does. I'm sure the felt done that. Anyway, so I went to see Spider-Man Far Away From Home. It was really, really good. That's a good, fun film.
Yeah.
Good, and nice origin story and stuff in there as well. The other thing, I watched Captain Marvel over the weekend.
I liked that. I really enjoyed that.
I have to watch that one yet.
You don't look like you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it towards the end. I thought she is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
But I just felt that it was more like a Power Rangers episode. These alien guys, you know, they look like Power Rangers monsters in the way they were running around. I thought the first half was very, very B-movie. Mm. And it got better as it went along, but yeah, I thought it was pretty B-movie. In fact, the whole way through. My son is a real Marvel aficionado and knows everything. In fact, we're at the dinner table today and he had on Comic-Con when they were announcing some of the new movies.
There's been so many announcements, hasn't there?
And Natalie Portman came on stage, was announced as the new Thor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, forgive me, everybody, but I turned around and went, fuck, for goodness sake, it's going too far now. That's ridiculous. Thor is a man, just like James Bond is a man. Write letters of complaint to Greg Lacey, okay? Joshua went, don't be so stupid, Dad. Years and years ago, it was written that Thor was a woman and there was different storylines as Thor as a woman. So don't be so stupid. Okay. Stupid Dad. I'm so stupid. So, yeah, he knows his Marvel
and
stuff.
And he's right.
Okay. Before we move on, a couple of quick recommendations for me. I've just finished books, audiobooks on Amazon called, or Audible called, it's The Fear Saga. It has one of our favorite guys that do the reading. It's about aliens that come and infiltrate the Earth for their armada that's coming, and there's good ones and bad ones, and they look like humans, and it's very, very good, very exciting. Three books, really, really good. A podcast recommendation seems very topical this week. It's called Apollo 11, What We Saw. And I think there's four episodes, three are available. I think the last one's coming out on Wednesday. And it's by this technician guy who was there, and he gives a lot of really interesting background stuff that you just didn't know, some like real stuff that happened. And it's quite humorous and quite funny. I would recommend it's free. So Apollo 11, What We Saw, very well put together, a little podcast about the Apollo moon landings and the build up to it. So
good.
There you go.
Nice. I binge watched Jessica Jones season 3 this week as well, by the way. I quite enjoyed that. I really enjoyed season 1. Season 2 I thought were a bit not too bad, but not as good as the first. But this one's pretty good. I enjoyed it more than the second season. So yeah. And it'll be the last time we see this on Netflix, won't it? Because Disney have got them all back.
Yep.
It's all right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Joshua was saying that Netflix are in trouble, but I find it isn't really.
I can't
really
see them being in trouble, but.
Okay, no.
They're bringing out loads and loads of new programming, aren't they? So.
Well, saying that, I would actually consider dropping Netflix, because at the moment we've been watching the Now TV stuff because of the Formula One that's been on.
Yeah.
So, I don't watch Netflix that much at the moment at all. Amazon Prime.
Yeah, no, we watch more Netflix than anything. A little bit of Amazon Prime. My Now TV run out early July. I only got a 3-month pass for the Game of Thrones, and I've not renewed that because there's not really much on there what I want to watch. So,
we've been watching that 9-1-1 and The Rookie, and we watched that new Amsterdam hospital-y drama type thing. Anyway, so yeah, it's a lot of chit-chat.
Games,
let's talk about some games and shit.
Today I feel like playing computer games. Today I feel like playing computer games.
It's the middle of the month. If you don't know what your freebie games are by now, look it up. I suppose I will say stuff that has went down as a real hit within the community. And we'll talk about it in a little while, I'm sure. If you haven't got it, grab Inside on the Xbox. Grab Detroit Become Human.
Yep.
The PlayStation and Twitch Prime stuff. Definitely grab the Escapists and Ukulele. They would be the ones to pick out of the stuff that's there. I think that's they would be the highlights. So, yeah. Okay, the stuff that we've been up to ourselves, just when we're speaking about Inside and Limbo, Pete, you've been playing Inside and Limbo, and you played them Inside first and then Limbo. So have a chat about that, will you?
Okay. Well, to be honest, I didn't think there was a real big problem with playing the games the wrong way around. I didn't get it. Maybe you could explain why. I should have. No?
No, you can play me way around.
That's okay. All right. Because when everybody that has commented saying, well, you should play Limbo first, I just didn't get it. But they're both very similar. They're both puzzle platformer adventure games, both published by Playdead, and they're fantastic. Yeah. You're just this little person that's running along your level, and you come across various puzzles, whether it's boxes that you have to lift to certain platforms, whether it's various switches that you have to control your platform, and to get to the other side, and there's saws in the way and all sorts. That's probably more Limbo, but Inside has got a different mechanic, and you can control people with your mind as you get further on into the game. And that I thought that was just absolute bonkers. It just blew my mind when I played it.
Okay, let's rewind a bit. Limbo, the first spider get you? Did it make you jump?
I think it's designed to get you, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's that initial shock. I know you get used to it after a while, but that little kid, he really dies in some horrible ways.
He really does, yeah. But I loved how you could inflict pain on that spider with a bear trap. You catch its leg, and I was like, wow. You know,
very, very dark.
Yeah, it is very dark, but very unforgiving. That you can't make any mistakes on there. And I think there's some achievements where you've got to go through the game without dying, or we've done it down in five times. And I'm like, that is nuts. How can you do that? But
I got that. Yeah.
And the one thing I found with Inside as well, Limbo, was I played so much. I wanted to try and complete it all in one go that I started to get like kind of a little bit lost in myself. I was forgetting where certain doors were, or like seeing the most simple things. And I was just getting a little bit lost. And the simple things, because I was looking for the most complicated, I just couldn't see them. It's just bonkers.
Why use 1,000 words when you can use 2? It was some of that sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Limbo is really cool. It's dark and black and white, and it's really atmospheric, and it gets weird in its own way. But Inside is a completely different type of twisted weirdness, darkness in color.
a little bit of color of a splash into it.
It's definitely more polished. You think you've got the gist of the story until you get to the end and you're like, what the hell just happened?
But that ending is just unbelievable, isn't it? You're like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's absolutely awesome, bonkers. Yeah, and I really enjoyed the whole chase element of Inside, where you'd only have to make a noise or reveal yourself like it's showing on the stream just now. You're having to sneak behind a barrier so people aren't, they can't see you. And the real intense thing for me in that game was the dogs.
I was just going to say, there's a bit where you have to go up and down some like fences through a fence, and the dogs are like, hey, you're straight away, they're coming straight for you. I struggled with that for a little bit.
It's absolutely nuts. Even the pigs were cute. I thought that they were a good part of the elements of the game, where you have to get it to run into certain walls to open the next part of the level up. I thought you was just basically trying to get into a facility where you were going to free someone that you knew that they were captured and taken into the facility. That was my thoughts on the game. So when you get further on in the game and you end up in the facility where people are getting captured and being turned into zombies, I just thought, well, you're going to start freeing some people up and rescuing. A bit like it's like a rescue mission, and it was just not that at all. I was just absolutely blown away with what, you know. I'm not gonna mention what it was, but it's just nuts. I thought it was a fantastic game, but I liked Limbo just as much. I think they were both very addictive. They're great puzzles. They hold their own. Both of them do. I don't know what the difference is in as far as time, but you between the two when they were developed. But you can certainly see that.
About the same. I would say Limbo is very polished as well, but it's a simpler sort of polish. Yeah. It's a simpler sort of game where you can see that that cut their teeth on Limbo, and there was more beautiful bucks spent on Inside. So
there's 7 years between them, so you can certainly tell that. But don't be put off by that 7 years, because that is And thank you very much, Robin, for introducing me to these two games and also buying me Limbo. That was very kind of you, and it was just fantastic. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I'm going to go back because there's 70 gamer points on each of these little segments of the game. So if you uncover something, or inside, there's like mechanics where you pull the inside of it out, and you just get 70 points for it. So it's worth going back and doing those, and you can. You don't have to go through all of the game to do it. You can pick your parts. You can pick your chapters. So, you know, if you want to YouTube it just to get your points, then it's worth doing.
Yeah,
I think so games like that, which are short enough, are worth playing again. You know, like Inside, we rushed through it. When it came out, we had it finished within hours when that first came out. Yeah. I remember everybody had played it so quickly. And I'm sure if I went back and played Inside again now, I'd really enjoy it again.
Yeah,
because you play games so fast, and we forget the stuff that's in it.
If I remember rightly, all these hidden things you get the achievements for, they unlock like an Easter egg. I think it's a spaceship you go to. So it's worth doing because it's a nice little Easter egg.
Great. Okay.
Cool. Okay. Well, look, I don't know if you played this, Mark, but the other big thing that happened this week was Gears of War.
Oh, I've not played a Gears of War, no.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. Well, like, I've dabbled in it, and I know you've spent time in it, and Kim has yet. Gears of War 5 trial tech test is available out right now, free. It's playable until 10 o'clock in America tomorrow, there behind. So it's
6 p.m.
So it says you can play up to tomorrow. If you're off tomorrow, you can play. I did play this morning. I only got through the trials, the training stuff. I couldn't get it connected to a server, and you have. So I can only talk to that. It looks like Gears. It there was a new mechanic where I use a stabbing thing. I stabbed. Sure. I'm not sure I like the lightness of the humor in it. I know there is some tongue in cheek stuff in it, but going through that the training thing, it seemed a bit self-aware or something, I'm laughing at myself, this silly game. At least, you know, I just thought it made it a bit more cartoony than Gears, which is, I know that's these big cartoon oversized muscly characters, but they usually were quite gruff and quite serious about what they're at, which was funny in itself almost, but it seemed like, we're laughing at ourselves doing this stuff now. Oh. But I'll try next weekend. It's on again, isn't it? The trial.
That's right. I'm not too sure if it'll be the same games that are available.
Okay.
There's a training
episode stuff which just shows you your main controls, and then it had King of the Hill, the new mode, the new bomb disposal mode thing. You'd plant a bomb and run out or something like that. And then there was, I think, another mode as well. Available in multiplayer. So what did you play? Because you're a massive Gears fan as well. You and your weird brother. So how did you get on?
I managed to get onto the servers, which is a good start. I thought the training mode was very simple. It didn't really give you that much of an insight into Gears. I don't think it was teaching you very basic controls. It gives you a good insight to what the environment was going to be like. And I'll get the thing about the chat, Robin, and it's also like that in the multiplayer. You can send out preset messages out to people within your team and to other people, I think. And it was, I just ignored that because to me, like you say, it's taking that real raw competitive element away from Gears and making it more cartoony. So the one thing I did get with the multiplayer, and I've not played multiplayer on Gears of War 4, but for Gears of War
I think, 2 and 3. They'd taken away the in-lobby chat. So when you die and you're in the lobby and you're waiting to respawn, you can't speak to the opposing team, and you could do that in number 1. But they've reintroduced that into 5. And I really love that because it just gives you that opportunity to throw some banter and to have that to have that rapport with your other team. So I found that really good. So it felt like it brought back an element of Gears 1 for me, and I felt like I played the arcade the quick sign up deathmatch.
There was arcade and there was skill based or your level based
ranked,
or ranked.
And I played the arcade one and I didn't like that because it gives you preset weaponry with each character and you got a limited amount of guns. You didn't have a shotgun to start off with, and I think you had to buy when you get a certain amount of kills, you can purchase different weaponry and put it into different parts of the map or something like that. And I just didn't get that mechanic. I'm like, I just want to get in there with all my guns and just choose from what I want to and cause mayhem. So that's why I went into the ranked matches. But the difficulty is just nuts between the two. But I stayed unranked. I've played King of the Hill as well. I thought that was really good. And there was a one called Elimination, and it gives you three points to capture, A, B, and C. And if you capture all three, you win the game. So you can win the game within a minute if you've got some skilled people on your team and you capture all three zones. But if you don't capture them, then it just accumulates points as you're holding each zone, and it goes up faster if you've got to.
Yeah, Kim put in the chat there about Gears 3 Horde, and we did play so much of it, and you know, ourselves and Nicole and all of us. We had such a great game trying to get to level 50, you know, over and trying so hard, and that was brilliant. I don't know why we did play some Gears 4, but not as much as 3. And I get it. Your thing about the lobby chat is kind of like going back to old Call of Duty stuff, or before party chat came over. Yes. The lobby chat was annoying because you had some wee bugger cursing and all that sort of stuff. But it was a bit of fun because it was only for a minute or two.
Yeah.
And away you go again. So, yeah, I sort of get where you're coming from there. Yeah. So, look, people are saying here that they didn't play it. We forgot. It is still available tonight and through tomorrow in the UK and next weekend if you didn't get it this weekend. It is free. It is a server test. It's worth your download time.
Can I just ask you something, Pete? I've noticed while watching your stream, when you're getting hit, like in previous ones, the screen went red a little bit and you got some like blood blotches, but this, you're getting a massive Gears logo right in the middle of the Does that impact on gameplay?
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I did mention that in the WhatsApp chat, and I'm glad you mentioned it now because I forgot to talk about that. But as you do get hit, you're quite right. You get whatever team you're on, Cargo or Locus, you'll get that sign come up in the centre, and it's just surrounded in red mist, and you lose your visibility of the game like really, really quickly. And I found it really distracting, and I just didn't like that. I didn't like that element of it. But it depends, you know, on what matches you're playing on. I find on ranked you're going to get that a hell of a lot, and it's going to happen really, really quickly. But if you're okay at the game, like I was holding my own, I'd say I was ending up at the top of league tables on some games. It's not that bad, but it is a distraction.
Yeah.
It certainly is a distraction. And there's one weapon.
Sorry.
The recoil on the weapon, I'm trying to think what it was. It's the one that I'm using on the stream now, and oh my life! I'll have to try and find the name of it, but it's almost like an automatic machine gun. It's absolutely awful. But like I said, I was playing on an arcade match there, and I had preset weapons. I couldn't change my loadout, and I found it really, really daunting and uncomfortable to play with. That's why I just automatically just went into the ranked matches. But I'm going to play this next weekend again, as we're on the you'll see on the stream now. This is me. I'm playing on the OC podcast stream, and I'll do the same next week. I've really enjoyed it so far, and it's really it's given me a good
refreshing intro back into Gears.
Good. When is actual game out? Is it September, October?
September.
Remember?
September.
September. Very yeah. good. Well, you've got everybody. Get on it. Play it. Give it a whiz. Okay. I'm going to pull in. I'm going to leave the trials. Sorry. Yeah, the trial stuff to the end. Mark, yeah. Hitman and Minecraft. First of all, Minecraft, the stuff that I want to mention is, are people starting to blow each other up? Is this the thing? Pilchin earlier on there saying, who left tea and tea on my doorstep? I could think of lots of people. But
No, I thought he was referring to Chinny and his TNT escapades. Because Chinny's been using a lot of TNT, and he keeps blowing up my rail line up to the main town up. So I've had to rebuild that a few times. Because he's using that much TNT, he's just obliterating the landscape where he is.
Oh,
he used to be a mountain there, and now there's just a massive hole. The ocean looks absolutely horrible. It was just like massive dips in it, and all the water's like gushing in. But yeah, he's blown up my rail line a few times. So I built it out of obsidian now. It still blows the tracks off. It still blows the tracks up, but it's a lot easier to fix.
Okay,
but
so
yeah.
Yeah, new members.
Yeah, yes, new members. FNK, Captain Good something. Can't remember. Lewis. It's Lewis Chinny's mate. Mobs have been on this since Thursday. Chopper Kelly asked for mobs on a bit early, and we haven't had them on for a while, so he's put the monsters on. So I've been farming XP in my little skeleton farm. So I've got a lot of XP, so I can do a lot of enchanting and getting all my armor and tools enchanted up to the eyeballs, up to maximum levels, ready for the dragon. I'm going to set the dragon on this week sometime.
I think it really startled some people putting these mobs on.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I remember Pilch put in the VGX chat, didn't he? Who put fucking monsters on?
Yeah, the EGX chat. Right. Yeah. So. Hey, and Hitman. I've seen Greg has been the Hitman as well.
Yeah, so it's partly Greg's fault actually, but we've had Hitman 1 for a while now. So I actually jumped into it last week and I played a tutorial, and then Greg's bought Hitman 2. But with Hitman 2, you can play all the Hitman 1 levels in the game, slightly more enhanced graphically. So he says, I've not really seen much difference.
Well, is Hitman 2 not Game Pass?
It's only the demo. It's like an instruction. Yeah. It's the ship, isn't it?
The training session.
Yeah.
Well, that's all I've played at the moment, just a training session on that ship. But once you've done it, you've followed the instructions, you can replay that over and over again and kill the guy in so many different ways. It's quite fun, actually.
I was a bit disappointed with that. I thought he was just going to get the whole game, and it really annoyed me that did.
Yeah, but I think isn't the full Hitman 1 on Game Pass?
I did notice it the other day. Yeah, because I've downloaded a few more games now. And I did notice that.
Yeah, so I've done the two training sessions. The first one is at boat, and the second one is in an aircraft hangar where you sabotage the ejector seat. Well, that's quite fun. So I've done them too, and so I'm going to start on the main story missions next. But yeah, it looks graphically really well, sounds really good. You've got an instinct mode, like on Tomb Raider and stuff, so you press the right bumper, and you can see the highlight of your target, which is a different colour to the highlights of the other people. So that's quite an advantage. You can do your classic Hitman stuff of taking down workers and different people and stealing their uniforms for disguises, to getting into different areas you couldn't normally get into. There's a plethora of weapons and stuff you can use to kill the people with. So, yeah, it's really fun. It's really good. I thought it was quite funny because on the boat level, you can dress up as one of the crew, and there's two uniformed guards stood there, and you just walk past because you've got this uniform, and one of them, as you walk past, one goes, "Hello, sailor," in a really camp voice. I thought that was quite funny. But yeah, it's really good. I'm enjoying it so far. Like I say, only done the training, but yeah, looking forward to getting into the story modes.
Unrelated question, but related with Game Pass. So Hitman 1 is leaving Game Pass soon.
Was it?
Yeah.
Right.
So when the game's leave Game Pass and you have it downloaded and you've been playing it, does that mean it's switched off?
Yeah, it'll ask you for the to purchase it. It'll ask you, okay. Do you own this game? Yeah.
Mm. I suppose so. Okay, I'm going to take a couple. I know we have to get your Red Dead, Kim. I'm not forgetting about you. Mm-hmm. I finished, wasn't on last week, so in between them, but it's worth a mention. What Remains of Edith Finch?
Nice.
Yeah. This is one for you as well, Pete.
Okay. What
Remains of Edith Finch? It's in Game Pass.
Is it a long game? Okay.
No, you do it in one sitting. Honestly, you just do it in one session, maybe 2-3 hours. Okay. It's beautiful to look at. Is it a game? I'm not sure if it's a game, but it's not stupid walking simulator as such, but it really is a cool story of a really unlucky family about this girl who goes back to the old family house after it's been left her in a will, and she uncovers what has sort of happened to her family members over the years with different clues and other stories and flashbacks and different bits and pieces that go on. Really, really interesting. Really got me. I absolutely loved. I thought it was some hipster thing that, and like a Stu Fowler from Veteran Gamer sort of thing that, oh yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. But it actually is really, really, really good.
So it's a step up from Tacoma then.
Very, very much.
Yeah.
Very, very, yeah, yeah. Nothing like Tacoma at all. It's gorgeous. It would remind you of, no, nothing. No.
Is there lots of reading?
No, none whatsoever. There is stuff if you want to, but no, none of that. No, it's just a story. You walk your way through this house, and you work your way through all the end of it, and all, and you hear all the stories of the family. And for example, you know, one family member went missing. His mother told him that there was the nuclear war that happened, and he had buried himself, like he had dug his way down into the basement, and been living there for 20 years. And oh, you come across his story and his rations and the notes he'd left, and that story will be read back to you. One of the other cousins was killed. She was a horror movie actor, young college school girl.
Yeah.
And what had happened to her, and that sort of turned into a little horror movie bit where it's in the cellar and somebody's chasing you around. So, yeah, well worth playing. What Remains of Edith Finch.
Really,
and beautiful to look at too. Second one that I finished was this week is SteamWorld Dig 2, which is on Game Pass. I bought the first one, loved it to bits. Lovely platformer. I don't know if you played it, Mark, did you?
I played the first one, yeah. I really enjoyed the first one. Yeah.
Okay, well, it's more of the same. Looks a bit better. SteamWorld Dig is you're this little robot. You dig down like Minecraft, but there is a little bit of a story goes along with. So if you remember the old game Boulder Dash, remember Boulder Dash years ago? It has that sort of thing where you're digging under stuff and stuff drops down. Minecraft thing where you have got a pickaxe, but you also have a steam-powered chisel where you have to pick up water for your water tank and everything can be upgraded. And you have to go and try and find your robot buddy who's disappeared from the first game.
I'm going
to
say, Rusty, just seen on stream now, Rusty, that's a character from the first game, so we've tied it in that way. That's cool.
Yes, you have to go try and find Rusty again and what's happened to Rusty. Really enjoyable. I finished it, you know, through the week there, but I keep on going back into it just to try and upgrade more stuff. And it's fun. It's like a bit like Minecraft, fun and relaxing, not overly hard. So we're like Boulder Dash, we're like Minecraft, we're a little platformer. I'm going to say a bit like Tomb Raider as well, on Assassin's Creed. This simple little game. It has all these challenge rooms challenge caverns that you go into. And when you get to the end of the cavern, you get another chest of gold, but you get a chest with a cog in it, and a cog will let you give different perks and upgrades and stuff like that there. And there's loads and loads of those. So lots of upgrade possibilities. It's sort of RPG-like that you can focus on upgrading certain things to give you better abilities. You eventually get a jetpack so you can upgrade it so you get more flight time and different stuff. Lovely little game. Lovely. lovely little platformer, Steam World Dig. Nowhere near as hard as Ori and the Blind Forest or anything like that there. Just fun. Fun.
Hmm.
I've one more I'll come back to, but give us your Red Dead update, Kim.
Not much. I went to the fancy party in Saint Denis and found out I hated I don't like the Italian guy at all. Nah. And that's pretty much about it. Arthur looks pretty good cleaned up, so you know.
No, you were complaining about horses and stuff like that earlier on.
The wild boars. Yeah, I was playing it the other night because I had to get a perfect possum pelt, which I didn't think was going to be a gigantic pain in the ass that it was. But it was. Anyway, while I was trying to find this perfect possum, the wild boars kept running me over. One of them pissed me off so bad, I tracked it and killed it and skinned it and all that. And while I was skinning this wild boar that pissed me off, a deer showed up and knocked me over. So, you know, I think it was when animals attack, Red Dead 2 style. So,
did it knock you over dead?
No, no. It
just knocked you over.
It just knocked me over. Aggravated me a little bit.
Not Northern Ireland knocked you over.
No, didn't Northern Ireland knock me over. No. And another weird thing was there was dead animals like just randomly showing up. Like I come across two dead buffalo that I don't know if they'd been skinned or what, but they were rotten. And I mean, just weird. In different places that I went, there would be like mysteriously dead animals just lying around. Like there was just a poacher
playing the game so long, the animals are starting to rot.
Apparently, yes. I've been playing it so long that now they're starting to rot. Yes. So, and I'm like, well, it wasn't me killing them, so I don't know. Somebody else is apparently going around and killing them. Maybe that's part of the story. Hell, I don't know. Or maybe it isn't. Maybe it's aliens. I don't know. So, but yeah, Red Dead. I'm still plugging away at it. I'm trying to work on the story a little more, too.
What are you, like 80% of the way there now, or 70% of the way?
52, I think. I'm on chapter 4, so yeah.
Right. Goodness, right. Enjoying it. Enjoy it.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
There is nothing wrong with what you're doing.
I think it's really good that you're just taking your time with it and just soaking it all in. I'll take my hat off to you because I kind of rush this in a way and I feel like I wish I hadn't done, but...
Oh, yeah, I waited too long for this game to show up, and now that it's finally, then yeah, you know, because I did the same thing when the first Red Dead Redemption showed up. It took me, I don't even know. It probably didn't take me this long, but it took me a while because I did just about everything in that game. So,
well, my brother was on about doing a spoiler cast for it, and I was just like, okay, I need to get to the end of this game before he does, because he's just going to rush this out, and we never did one.
There you go.
Typical Mike.
What's it like?
Damn it, Mike. It's all your fault.
The last thing I've dabbled in this week, when I finished SteamWorld Digging and What Remains of the Finish, and I know I've got other big games to play, but I was just like, oh, it's something different. Mm-hmm. And I have Assassin's Creed, not Odyssey, the one before Origins.
Yeah.
Origins.
Yeah. So I have it to play. But I also have Assassin's Creed Rogue sitting there, and I always heard it was really good.
Yeah, I've got
I love Black Flag. So much, and I hear Rogue was like Black Flag 0.5 thing.
Didn't they release this on 360 because Black Flag didn't come to 360, so this was a 360 version to appease the fans. But then they released this on the now current gen, the next gen consoles back then.
Yeah, well, I'm playing it backward compatible. I don't know if it's available on a...
Yeah, I know you can get a remastered version. Yeah, and I think it's on Game Pass now as well. I bought it in a sale recently, and it's now in Game Pass.
See?
Oh, okay. Oh, well, I must have a look and see, because I've been playing that... Oh, frig. Thank God I'm not that long in it. But pretty much you're straight onto your ship. You know, within 20 minutes of starting the game, you're on your ship and doing your partner stuff, so... Oh, that'll get the hooks in me again because I just loved Black Flag for that ship stuff. And it was one I think it just got missed out because it was at the end of the 360 life and it wasn't released on the Xbox One straight away. So it sort of got lost in the weeds of all the new stuff. It was always seen as a very strange thing for them to do. So I'll get into that. Okay, so you guys, you have been at your trials again.
Oh, yeah.
Was it a handmade course this week?
No, a bit easier than that.
Just a little bit.
Ooh. Pete, what, did you not make another course? Or did...
It takes quite a lot of your time, and I don't know, with Gears coming up, and no, I've downloaded Just Cause 4 and a couple of other games, and I want to try and get through them before. I built my track. I said I was going to do it, and I'm surprised it carried on after that. I thought we'd can it after track.
Yeah, I did put a poll out on Facebook, and there was one vote in it, but it was the vote to carry on. So I don't know how long to carry on for. We're on
it's almost half a year now. Yeah, that's been running.
Yeah, and track to number 20 will be next. So we'll see.
Oh, Sarah's just put in the chat that, as a reminder, that Wolfenstein comes out this Friday.
Oh, is that the one with the two sisters?
The girls, the sisters? Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah, wait for it on Game Pass.
Time. Oh, I love the Wolfenstein games. I'd be very tempted to this.
I've still not played the last many one. Games.
Yeah. Trying not to. Oh, yeah, the last one's great too. Mark, you got to play it. It's really good as well. I just love those. Just something real quality about these Wolfenstein series. Oh, you've got the deluxe edition allows you to play with a friend even if they don't own the game. There
nice.
You go.
Ooh.
So you need a good friend. I think I'll definitely buy Wolfenstein. But yes, look, it is a problem because there are so many free games between Game Pass and Gold, PlayStation, don't even forget about PC, you know, all the Twitch stuff and all those free stuff that's there and the cheap stuff. But like, holy crap! It's just fabby dab. It really is brilliant. I wonder, Sarah, if you're saying that Wolfenstein it comes with the deluxe edition that comes out to play with a friend, even if they don't have the game. I wonder if you have to decide who that friend is, or can you play with different friends? You know, do you have to say, well, if I bought it, I can play with Mark or Pete or Kim or whoever it may be, and I'm stuck with them. Or can you decide to share it with anybody you want? Interesting. Anyway, not a big point. All right, that's it. So trials, you should be at it. We'll hear about the results in a little bit later on. And I think that's about everything we've played. Good stuff.
Yep.
And we've got a quiz.
We have.
Let's get ready to rumble!
What's that noise?
That freaked Gary out last week. What's that noise thing, didn't it? Cool. What's that noise audio quiz is back. Each week I'm going to play you three audio clips and you have to guess what game they're from. So quite a simple premise, but you guys seem to find it quite hard. So I've made it multiple choice for you, hopeless kids. These sweet clips, they were all from boss battle scenes. Okay, last week was intros and menus. This week is from boss battle scenes.
Okay, I'm going to turn it up and listen away. Okay.
Right, so, and I've taken note from Gary last week, some of these I may not have played, but you guys, one of you guys have definitely played each of these games. So
shocker.
I may have been looking on your gaming history.
Ooh.
So, number one, here we go.
Round one.
Vinny!
Surprised? Where's Belluccio?
Oh, he won't be joining the flight. It's just gonna be me and his millions.
So you whacked the boss and turned the whole city into a pile of flesh-eating maniacs just to get your hands on Belluccio's fortune?
And to get even with him and the Boninos for both hustling my butt for all those years.
Right, I think Robin's got that straight away. He's nodding away there. So is that A, Mafia 2? Is it B, Guns Got Cannoli? Is it C, The Godfather 2, or is it D, Mafia 3? Do you want them answers again? A, Mafia 2, B, Guns Got Cannoli, C, Godfather 2, or D, Mafia 3? And pop your answers in, please. All right.
Complete guess.
Yeah, we've got a bit of a difference here. We've got Kim and Robin saying Guns Got Cannoli, and we've got Pete saying Mafia 3. And Pete, you are incorrect. Robin and Kim have got the points. It is, of course, Guns Got Cannoli. Right, that's a nice cannoli.
Pete, write that down. Another fantastic game you have to play.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's great.
stuff.
It's absolutely brilliant. It's like little platformer with zombies and funny. It's good.
But I quite had a hard boss battle as well. That's why I put that in there. Right. So well done, guys. So are you ready for question two?
Yep. Round two.
Or a monster.
Dorfman or Bone.
Yeah, exactly.
We have Kessler, and the production facilities are wrecked.
Kessler will be dead before he's any use to the Allies. And as for your little, mischief in the production facility, well, it's just too late. Yeah, I'm going to start with the USS Anchor.
All right, so question two. Ooh. Was that A, Sniper Elite 4? Was that B, Wolfenstein The New Order? Was it C, Battlefield 5? Or was it D, Wolfenstein The Old Blood? A, Sniper Elite 4. B, Wolfenstein The New Order. C, Battlefield 5. Or D, Wolfenstein The Old Blood? Pop your answers in.
Sorry, answers again. Sorry, again, quickly.
Sniper Elite 4. B, Wolfenstein New Order.
Okay.
C, Battlefield 5. Yeah.
There you go.
Or D, Wolfenstein The Old Blood.
Mark, turn your mic down a bit. There we go. There's the answers. Woohoo.
Is my mic too loud?
Yeah, we're a bit of distortion out there. Some bollocks in the chat. Some just know-it-all son of a bitch is in there.
Well, I put it louder because when the recording comes out, mine always sounds quieter, so that's why I've done it.
Yeah, that's me too. It's just a weird thing.
Fuck that guy in chat. Fuck that guy. Yeah, should be here, shouldn't he? Yeah. Right, so Kim says Wolfenstein The Old Blood, and Robin and Pete say Sniper Elite 4. And I believe one of you completed this recently, which is Pete. He completed Sniper Elite 4. So well done, Robin and Pete.
Yay! That was a tactical move, Robin, that was. You waited for me.
No,
you're supposed to play it at the same time.
Sorry, I played the Wolfenstein ones, and they were a bit more tongue-in-cheek serious about each other, and I always knew that Sniper Elite, I have it downloaded now, it was a bit more cartoony funny sort of thing. So it sounded like hammy voice acting, which is what Sniper Elite 4 is. Yeah. So anyway, okay, good. See, Greg said these were hard.
I can lower levels on that bit. Right, okay.
Yeah. Greg said hard about, you know.
Yeah. Well, would they be hard without multiple choice? That's the thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nah, of course. We would know these.
Yeah. I don't know. That's what I keep saying to him, Robin, but you know what we're like. Right, question three.
Final round.
So you're the many mortals who have been destroying my soul cages. My guardian beast should make quick work of you.
This might give it away.
Look who has a flair for the theatrical, bloody Jobsworth.
I thought that might give it away. Right, so question three is that A, Final Fantasy 15. Is it B, Divinity Original Sin? Is it C, Child of Light? Or is it D, Strange Brigade? A, Final Fantasy 15. B, Divinity Original Sin. C, Child of Light. Or D, Strange Brigade? Pop your answers in. 3, 2, 1.
No.
And everyone has gone for that. Strange Brigade, and everybody is correct. Well done. I thought Kim would like
that game.
Yeah. We like those days.
It's just Kim's there reaction. Of like, and then
she gave it away a bit, didn't she?
I was just like, that's...
Oh, very good. Good, I like that. You know what? It doesn't matter if we get them right. It's still a bit of fun. We feel better in ourselves if we get them right. Thanks, you. Thanks for doing that. That was good fun.
So,
I got 3 points there.
Yeah, you got all three, Robin. Yeah.
Look at that, man.
Pete got two.
Bang, bang.
Right, they're updated.
Look at that. Five.
Yeah, Kim's on 5 now. Kim's in the lead. I've already done it, Pete. Cheat.
No, you've already two on.
This is your first time you've doing this?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's your second time. Your first time you didn't get no points.
No, that's right. Don't rub it in. Balmyer and Greg anyway, and Rich. Who's Rich?
Webster.
Okay. Let's get it. Let's, very good. Thank you for that. Let's get into some news.
News. Here we go.
Here is the fucking news.
It is the middle of the summer, not lots is happening, but Comic-Con was on this weekend, and at Comic-Con in San Diego, they had Hideo Kojima on a panel, and they were chatting the narrative, where the inspiration for the game is, and some tidbits about the upcoming game. Not a lot was really given away, and it was hosted by Hideo Kojima himself. And film and director Nicholas Winding Refn.
Film director.
Yeah, film director. who appears in the character of a guy called Cartman. But one of the biggest reveals during the panel was the first look at Death Stranding's box art. And, of course, it has, what do you call him on the front of it? What's his name?
Norman Reedus.
On the front, it doesn't really seem to give away anything much. I'll just bring that up a little bit there, Mark. So it has a Norman Reedus in the front in a sort of a suit with a head thing on and some sort of metal device over on the right-hand side. Is that a camera or something? I don't know. Or something he's carrying. I'm not sure. The box art doesn't really give much away. It is rated as mature. We'll see. Can we see when it's coming? It's not that far away. It was funny. Apart from the box art reveal, another thing that was mentioned during the panel was that Kojima was originally recommended Keanu Reeves for a role in the game, but ended up choosing Mads Mikkelsen instead. So there you are. Still no real idea what it's about, but there we go. It's coming. We've already mentioned the Gears of World War 5 stuff, and you can still get into it. It's free. Download it. Away you go. And again, next week, we're told, Pete says, it's next week.
That's okay. Right, yeah.
Next, Grand Theft Auto still continues to blaze and makes lots and lots of money. And next week, they're opening an online casino within Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah. So I'll read through some of the stuff.
Yeah, this is why I've actually have this in. Because
right.
I think it's most a dangerous thing. So Grand Theft Auto Online players are already essentially rolling the dice with their own lives every time they leave the safety of their apartments, blah, blah, blah. But next week, they have more formal gambling opportunities. At long last, the Diamond Casino and Resort will be opening its doors after years of construction and anticipation. The casino, which is located in the corner of Vinewood Park Drive and Merritt Park Boulevard, will be opening on July the 23rd. Players will be able to go inside and play a variety of games, including three-card poker, blackjack, roulette, and virtual horse racing. If you have too much cash, there's also slot machines and a lucky wheel that you can spin. The wheel will give winners a shot at winning a car with a new Trufade Thrax supercar up for grabs during the Diamond's opening week. The ultra-wealthy can purchase the master penthouse property, which gives its owner access to a variety of new co-op missions as part of the Diamond family. Complete the new storyline and you can earn a new vehicle at no cost. Or if you don't like getting into high-stakes drama, you can just stay at home in your swanky pad and upgrade to gain access to a spa or a private retro arcade. That sounds like fun. If you want to get the master penthouse without spending a dime, you're in luck. Players who link their social club accounts with Twitch Prime and claim their benefits before the end of day tomorrow, end of this weekend, can get the property at zero cost, as well as GTA dollars 1.25, I think that's million, and a 15% discount on shark cards. Okay, so that sounds kind of frightening because I know people spend an absolute ton shitload of money on shark cards buying currency within GTA 5. Surely that's going to make people do that more if they're gambling with those bucks.
My brother doesn't see that.
Yeah, he likes his poker.
He loves his poker, yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, yes, I know it's they're probably unredeemable. Maybe there is a way to sell that currency, is there? Can you sell the currency to other people, or how would you even do that?
I don't know. I know people try to sell the gamer tags with all the associated accounts with it, don't they? Which you're not supposed to do. It's against terms of service for Microsoft, but yeah, people do sell the gamer tags because all the digital purchases they've made, you get all them, don't you? But yeah, it's a bit dodgy.
But you can just see people for the hell of it, you know, just throwing thousands and thousands of pounds or dollars at this as well, just because they can, and they it'll have that same gambling bug, even though it means nothing in the real world. They will throw money at this to become the big man.
If there was no spending real money to get in-game money, and it wouldn't be a problem, but because you can buy in-game money with real money, it's just a can of worms, isn't it? You wouldn't think we'd go there, would you? Not after all the loot box fiasco.
Well, I would throw down now that somewhere it could be, remember this day, folks, it could be 2 months, 6 months, a year's time, there will be a new story about addicts in GTA.
Yeah.
Because of this stuff. Well, I'm sure there already is one now because all the shark cards have been bought, but even more so here now.
And if they've not earned enough money as it is.
Yeah.
They've been in the charts for however long now. It's just insane why they go down this route.
Was it 2013 or 2012 this game came out? It came out before the current gen consoles were out. So it's just a complete monster, isn't it? Money train for them.
Yeah.
Oh, well, look, be responsible, guys. Have fun, gamble sensibly. And if you need help, speak to somebody about your gambling. Okay, PUBG, a real favourite here, is going into Season 4. There's a new trailer for Season 4 of PUBG, and it's revealing a surprising origin story behind Battle Royale, which sounds quite interesting, and I know there was some talk about this, and this little news tidbit mentions this. So the PUBG Corporation has announced a new game update that will roll out alongside PUBG's fourth competitive season, entitled the Enwrangle Visual Update. The new patch will give PUBG's original map a hefty makeover. While updated visuals are lovely, fans may be more intrigued by PUBG's new cinematic trailer, which reveals that the game's deadly battlegrounds are apparently an orchestrated competition designed by a mysterious mastermind who survived a brutal war as a child. Late last month, as some of us know, we mentioned this before, Call of Duty vet and Sledgehammer Games co-founder Glenn Schofield announced he was joining the PUBG Corp to work on an original narrative in the PUBG universe. So, guessing that today's trailer is just the beginning of a larger story. So maybe they're, you know, the PUBG came first, now they're shoehorning this story into it. But that actually sounds quite interesting, you know, that it was this game, like the Hunger Games sort of thing. Yeah.
Better that than just another map.
Yeah.
Building a bit of beef into it. Yeah. So that's going to be officially launched on PC on the 24th of this month, just a few days away, and it'll head to consoles later on in the summer. So Fraser can tell us all about it. okay, so PUBG, there, it's still a thing. And finally, just a wee quickie, Luigi's Mansion 3 has a release date now in October. I know we've got lots of Nintendo fans out there as well and lots of new Switch owners. Luigi's Mansion, the second one, which was on the DS, Luigi's Mansion, the film remake, was brilliant. It's one of the best DS games out there. It's really, really good 3D, really, really, really good. And this new one, well, it's again a Nintendo own label, so it's going to be brill. And that lovely Luigi going around with his vacuum like a little Ghostbuster, sucking up the ghosts. So Luigi's Mansion 3 release date, it buffs out a fantastic year with Switch exclusives, including things like Fire Emblem, Three Houses, Pokemon Sword and Shield, and The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. So very, very strong year for the Switch this year from own branded products. Oh, there you go. I haven't touched my Switch. The kids play the Switch. I haven't touched it. In fact, they play still. What's that stupid game? Not PUBG. Battle Royale.
Fortnite. Oh, Fortnite.
Yeah, so they come out Fortnite. Here. One of them still plays on Xbox. Another one, yeah. Yeah, they haven't sort of twigged yet that Fortnite's just. I think it's starting to wane a little bit with the kids. but I don't think there's a suitable replacement for it yet for the kids either. So there you go. That's all of the newsy stuff. It is summertime, so dragging the drags there. There was other stuff there about, did you mention it last week about the new Nintendo Lite for the lights?
Yeah.
You mentioned that last week, yeah?
I think we did, didn't we?
Yeah, so Nintendo have released a slider version of the Switch, which is, it will play all the Switch game. Doesn't switch. Okay, just a wee bit of feedback then from community stuff there, some stuff on Twitter this week. Mark, you'll maybe be answer this one. Gamerscribe UK, to at OC Podcast on Twitter. So I'm making some kind of social faux pas. My Minecraft house is made totally of mud. I've got loads of grey stone blocks, but I don't want to ruin the organic, healthy aesthetic. Also, can one of you do a grand design special on your MC project? So now there's requests for that. And do you know what? You can build them whatever you want to.
Yeah. I know Pete's got a mud hut because he's just managed to dig a hole. So he's rocking a mud hut. Well, yeah, whatever you want to build is up to you. That's the whole idea of it.
But as well as that, I like the idea of simplicity. Maybe it's like working at a Quaker Centre for 8 years plus now. It's rubbed off on me. But the idea of a mud hut with just a simple thing like a chest and a bed and a furnace is great. That's all I need.
And it's keeping Mother Nature happy.
Yeah.
There we go.
But so I need a swimming pool.
There are, as long as you don't go around blowing other people's houses up,
or destroying not like property. My rude brother. No,
yeah, everything goes. There's no wrong answers. There's nothing wrong you can do in Minecraft. Okay, following on from your plays with Inside and Limbo, Tim Chopper Kelly. I was a bit of back and forth on Twitter. He said it was superb. You know, he did the same thing as you. He played it straight after finishing Inside, and the misses. And I both played games like couch co-op together. You die, you pass the controller over. That's nice. She was in bits at the end of Limbo, and I think there was something wet near my eye. That's too much information. So, okay. Yeah, it was more than complete swapped around. And like you replied there, hey, Tim, it was a cracker. I'm not too fussed about when I played them the other way around, to be honest. They're as great as each other, and couch co-op idea is really good. It is. I might go back and try 100% both games yet. Cheers. Okay, good. The final one here is really weird. Is this from our world?
Yeah, it's from looks like it, yeah.
Tendo FNK, at FNK Tendo. Not entirely sure just what I walked in on. And it shows a photograph of a Minecraft boat with...
There's a sheep at the front, a chicken with a mini zombie sat on the chicken. So that's the first one. Yeah, I know that once mobs go into a boat or a minecart, they don't come out again, so you can transport them wherever. So yeah, them little zombies are a pain in the ass as well. Little ankle biters, and they're really fast, and they don't have to get you.
That's really cool. I need some of that in my life.
Yeah, I've never seen one sat on a chicken before. That's cool, is that?
All right, cool. Thank you for all the feedback, guys. At @OC_podcast for feedback, please, or you can email us wherever you want to. You can email us at the email address that we have, which is a really, really good email address, which is podcast@ocpod.com. So there you are. That's that. Okay. And new releases. I've been talking too much. Kim, talk away about some new releases, please.
Righty. Your new releases for July 21st through the 27th are Phantasy Strike for the PlayStation 4, Switch, and PC on the 25th. Fire Emblem Three Houses for the Switch on the 26th. Kill a Kill If, I think. PlayStation 4, Switch, PC, also on the 26th, and Wolfenstein Youngblood for the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Stadia, PC on the 26th as well. And those are your new releases.
Excellent.
It's out on Stadia, but Stadia's not out yet. How does that work?
I ordered a Stadia? Fuck me.
when's the Founders Pack coming out, Robin? Is it October?
I don't know. When it arrives. Is it October time? I honestly have no idea. I think, did Mike order one as well, didn't he?
Yeah, he has, yeah.
He's a dick too.
How much is it? About £120 or something like that. Is that right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. It becomes clear that my credit card bill was almost £7,000 this month.
Wow.
So,
So's Oak Doors.
Yeah, Oak Doors and holidays and all the stuff. Anyway, that's what we use for it. Anyway, doesn't matter. It's paid. Okay, where are we? Trials Rising. Use Far Away on the Trials Rising stuff. I'm going to go and kill myself. No, I'm not going to do that. It's a horrible thing to say. Scrub that last remark. I'm going to feel sorry for myself about paying that credit card bill and swear blind that I'm not going to spend that much money again. All right. Bye, myself.
Right, Trials Rising Challenge number 19, which is not that easy to say, especially after the Baileys. Our current track this week has been Beach Bum, and here are the results. Top 10 in 10th place, Scott Stubby with 1:06.974. In 9th place, Birthday Girl, Gamer Girl 27, 1:06.804. In 8th place, The Legit Chitty, 1:04.463. In 7th place, Martin C. 1984 with 1:04.217. In 6th place, Mark Alex with 1:04.102. And in brackets, you bastard. Who do we put that in?
I don't know.
Was it me?
In fifth place, Greg Murphy's Law, 1:03.797. 4th place, Chubster 999, 1:02.572. 3rd place, Womble MK3, 1:01.572. Lewis Playing Skills, 1:01.737. And Snoogans has done it again with a sub 1 minute. He did it in 58 seconds, 0.797.
Have you seen the replay of this?
No,
have
I haven't. No.
Sugar Ray Leonard. How he does this stuff is just nuts. And he even got caught up on a couple of jumps as well. So he probably would have knocked that down to 57. Yeah. I just don't know. How
it's 5 seconds
it,
faster than me. 5 seconds in that game is a long time.
Yeah. It really is.
It's ridiculous.
Well, it's okay that you go 5 seconds longer than Snoogans.
but not in trials. Challenge number 20 is going to be on the track called Ship It, and that's using the Rhino bike. So Ship It on the Asian continent using the Rhino bike. You have until 7 p.m. next Sunday. If you want to take part and you're not already on the list, just tweet me at Mechanics or put a message on our Facebook group page saying you want to take part and I'll add you. So good luck with that. We've also had a Resogun. Oh, that's my dog growling. I can hear something. Resogun Weekly Challenge number 237 is finishing tonight, but I captured for scores at 7 p.m. today. This was one of those stupid modes where you couldn't shoot or anything. I think you could only boost. I didn't even have a chance to take part in this again. It's been such a busy week. But here are the top five. In fifth place, Kozigan with 1,300 points. Fourth place, Sarah RCGC with 25,300. Third place, Tom Gunslinger X1983, 60,550. In second place, Lewis Raimondo with 462,800. But in first place, there's a reason why he chose his challenge. It's Tuscan 77. With 1,732,800 overachieving points. So well done, Tuscan.
Oh, holy crap, Phil.
Yeah.
Insane. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So challenge 238 starts at 1 a.m. tonight. And same again, you've got till 7 p.m. next Sunday to get your scores in. If you want to take part and you're not on the list.
You really got to challenge Tuscan. You really got to give him a run for his money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get in there. Next week, Tuscan has to play with one hand only, so we're going to handicap him.
Pete, do you want to do the golf club ones?
Yep, golf club 2019 challenge. Okay.
Has this been a
Dirt Course Challenge, July 7th to 13th. I had to catch up on it. You caught me on the spot there.
Sorry.
So the course was Pebble Beach. Is that right?
No idea.
It doesn't.
Has this not been updated?
July 7th to 13th. No, it's not been
updated. Oh, no, because I remember Gary saying this current course will be the same as what the Open is, which is Portrush in Northern Ireland. So, yeah, it's not...
Which is...
Yeah, I was reading through that. That doesn't look right at all.
Message to Gary and Greg. Slackers.
Slackers. There you go. Royal Portrush at Dunluce is 30 minutes away from me, and it just finished the Open today. So nice and fresh. It'll be good for everybody to play that course. Of course, our local hero, Rory McIlroy. Yeah, he played like me.
Yeah.
And Tiger Woods didn't do much better. Anyway. Okay. Well, that's that then. Okay. Well, victory achieved. We'll just tell... rattled away here. Victory achieved. When you finish games like I did this week, I take a nice little photograph of myself. I tweet that off to @OC_podcast with Twitter hashtag victory achieved, and it gets sent off and you get entered into a draw, and it's for money. And people that have won this year, you've got Sarah winning in March, you had Dave Theomatic, he won in June, and you win £15 or $20 to spend on games. And the people that finished games this week was myself with Steam World Dig 2, The Legit Chummy with Limbo, OC Murphy's Law with XCOM War of the Chosen. That's not a game, Greg. That's not a game.
It's DLC.
Gunslinger, XCOM, he finished Resident Evil 2. Well done. I think he struggled with that for a while, and he's got through it. And Scott Stubby finished Inside as well. So great stuff. Congratulations, get your entries in. The next competition runs until the end of September, so lots of time to do that. So it's free money. Why not? Finish your games, tweet it off, and you'll get a chicken somewhere in your tweet bag. Anyway, so for finishing these games, you get this from our glorious leader.
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. A victory's achieved.
Yeah, and as Sarah says about the Resogun challenge, the challenge is to get into second place. She's absolutely right. Second is the new first. Yeah. let's get this finished up here. Let's get it all nicely tidied up. If you want to join in, like Sarah in the chat, like the guys that are in the chat, Kim and Pete are going to have a look and see who's in that chat group there. You can go to twitch.tv/OCPodcast or mixer.com/OCPodcast or in the youtube.com/OCPodcast, and there's chat groups there. You can join in live, and we're going out live at 9 o'clock in the UK and 1 p.m. in West Coast and 4 p.m. in the East Coast and 7 a.m. in Australia. So when even if you do this stuff, you can chat with us and interact like Sarah has and Scott has, and you know, brilliant.
It's don't forget Pilch. He'll only have one on him.
Pilch. Yeah, and Pilch.
And
of course, you can. We're very, very up to date with our reviews. So it's nice to leave you a review, but there was a lovely review back on the 21st of March by Stuart, the Stew Man Show, a great podcast that regularly brings a smile to my face with funny hosts and great banter. Keep it up. I wish we had some of those funny hosts tonight. That is
lovely.
So please leave us a review. It's nice to get them on iTunes or wherever you want to. If you want to stick a sticky note in your local post office, put it up there. Just take a photograph of wherever you leave your review. I don't care. It's cool. And if you want to get in contact with us, we're going to have playing a lovely little bit of audio from our wonderful friend, Nicole. And she'll tell you all about it right now.
You like us. We like you. See where I'm going with this? Follow us on Twitter. @OC_podcast. Check us out on Facebook, fb.ocpod.com, or email us podcast@ocpod.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Wow, it's very nice.
All right, let's get the hell out of here. Kim, birthday girl.
Yes.
Say hello to people.
Alrighty. I want to shout out our chatters. There was quite a few. We had Playing Skills, Sarcastic Pilch. Tank Top was in there giving us all grief, as usual. We have Commander Root, Community Showcase, Host Me Raffle, which I'm pretty sure is a bot, Lurks, McWallace420, RCGC, S1 Fika, Scott Stubby, Tide, V&K, Virgo Bros, and Zane Kyber. So thanks for coming along for the ride. So a shout out to you guys. It's always fun, even on my birthday. It was, it was fun. Glad I was here. So here's to another week.
We're going to give you the bumps later. And Pete?
I'm going to shout out Shell because she followed that ass method again, Robin. She's got a job now. She's
excellent.
So she's back in employment. I'm also going to shout out the people that joined in on the stream that I did yesterday. So I believe that was Sarah, Mark, Cole. I can't remember the other person. But anyway, a bunch of people. So whoever joined in on that, thank you ever so much. I'm going to do it again next weekend. And then I'll probably start doing something a little bit more regular. Maybe on a Tuesday
prunes.
Night.
What? Prunes.
Prunes.
Prunes. Yeah, that'll help you be regular. So I'm glad she used the ass method. I'm glad it's worked for her. It's just as long as she doesn't go VSF, man. She doesn't want to go the VSF route. So as the ass method's good, as long as no VSF, we don't want VSF. So very severely fucked.
We've got to ask what that is now.
Yeah. So no VSF. She gets through this job now. She's got the ass. No VSF.
Okay.
She's got the ass.
She doesn't want to get very severely fucked with the ass.
I'll pass on the advice.
And Mark.
I want to shout out Kim. Happy birthday, Kim. I want to shout out Pete for streaming on the podcast channel this week. And also for going to be doing a few more streams. So, raising the profile of the live stream there. So thank you very much.
I don't know about that.
Shout out to Mike for destroying half of our town centre and my rail track. and I'll let you take us out, Robin.
Yeah, well, just a big happy birthday to Cindy.
Yep.
Oh, yes.
Who is Greg's wife, because that's why he's not here this week, or so he says anyway. He's away doing American things. So it's Cindy's birthday this weekend. Happy birthday, Cindy. Hope you're being spoiled rotten. To everybody that listened, thank you very much for listening. All the people that were live, especially the live folk. Kim, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
I hope the remainder of your day is absolutely wonderful. I hope you get cake.
Cake is
not a lie. Pete, you're wonderful. Mark, absolutely fantastic that you made the show and you're going to do a quick edit now and saves me having to do that. That's wonderful. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Have a great and wonderful gaming week. We will see you all this time next week. And it was Norman Reedus. He passed on his motorbike. again. Norman, stop, please. we'll see yous out there. Thank you very much. Thanks, guys. Goodbye. See yous.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.
All right, before we leave, Gary DeFelice has invited me to like the world according to Gar on Facebook. I really don't know what to do. It's his new podcast. So there you go. Look up the world according to Gar. I have
yeah,
no
I already
idea
liked it.
Found there. Okay. All right. Goodbye.